Hi everyone, my name is Parker Butler, and this is Politics with Parker, Season 2, Episode 16. In this weekly series, I break down the latest political news and offer some commentary on how to get people, especially young people, engaged in politics and energized about the issues that we as a generation are going to inherit. I'm going to talk about net neutrality and the vote on Thursday at the end of this podcast, but first, this week was particularly interesting in the realm of electoral politics. In Alabama, Democratic candidate Doug Jones defeated the Republican candidate Roy Moore, who was embroiled in controversy following allegations of sexual misconduct from multiple women who were teenagers at the time. And the results were quite surprising for many, including myself, who have gained a negative outlook of Democratic politics in the South. Now, this is the first time in 25 years that Alabama has elected a Democrat to the U.S. Senate, and it was quite the comeback. Doug Jones took the lead in the last few percentages of votes reporting as votes from urban areas like Birmingham came in. And the electorate in this election, according to some exit polls, was over 30% African American, which was a substantial surge in turnout compared to previous elections. This is another example that proves that elections are all about turnout. You can spend however long you want swaying moderates, and Doug Jones certainly tried his best to do that. But in general, the best and most important investment you can make is to turn out your own base of voters, especially for Democrats, who oftentimes face turnout issues among their own base during midterms and special elections like this one. An amazing statistic from this was Doug Jones received 93% of the vote total that Hillary Clinton received in 2016 in Alabama. Roy Moore received under 50% of Donald Trump's vote total. And so really, turnout at the end of the day is everything. And now the Senate has only a 2-seat majority for Republicans, which is a huge blow to a party that was already dealing with a razor-thin majority. The tax bill, although passed by the Senate and the House, is still going through a conference committee to hash out the differences between the chambers before the president can sign it, and Senator-elect Jones could have an impact on that process depending on when he's sworn in, which depends on the Alabama Secretary of State to certify the results within the coming weeks, and also whether Mitch McConnell chooses to obstruct that swearing-in process. And we all know that Senator McConnell has plenty of experience with obstruction. But in relation to this election, I want to talk a little bit about the topic of voting rights, particularly a very large group of Americans who are citizens and are over the age of 18, and yet they are not allowed to vote. Now, the Sentencing Project estimates that Alabama disenfranchised 286,266 voters in 2016 alone, according to AL.com. And these are people who at one point in their life have been convicted of a felony. And the Constitution of Alabama forbids anyone convicted of a crime of, quote, moral turpitude from voting. But the Constitution didn't exactly spell out what those crimes were exactly. As a result, just as happened in 2016, but also many, many elections before, hundreds of thousands of Alabamians have simply been left in the dark as to whether their right to vote is still in place. In May of 2017, the Republican governor Kay Ivey listed 42 specific felonies that bar anyone from voting in the state. And the slight uptick in voter registration that happened right before this year's special election, according to AL.com, could very well be attributed to giving thousands of felons the right to vote. And that could very well have been enough to shift the election in favor of Doug Jones. But Alabama isn't the only state that has a history of disenfranchising voters who are felons. In Florida, which is a very politically important and competitive state, one out of every 10 adults in Florida is just flat out banned from voting based on a past conviction. That's 10% of all voters, if you can believe that. And Florida is among the four states that just permanently ban, without an exception, these felons from ever participating in democracy with their vote again. But that could be changing. Activists with OurStates.org are currently gathering petitions to put an initiative on the ballot in 2018 to change just that. You know, I am of the belief that as many adults as possible should be able to have their voice heard. And it makes very little sense to me to deny people who have already served their time from being able to have a say in their community because of something that may have happened decades upon decades ago. This is an issue that often flies under the radar, but if Florida makes this change next year, it could very well open the floodgates to expanding voting rights even more. And finally, a few words on the big issue that has been in the minds of a lot of people for several weeks now. If you've been on social media or you've watched the news, chances are you have heard of this issue. Now, the FCC voted 3-2 to repeal net neutrality regulations that were first laid out in 2005 and began implementation in 2010. The chairman of the FCC is a guy named Ajit Pai, and he was appointed to his position by, you guessed it, Donald Trump. Now, there are a ton of great explainers you can find online for what net neutrality is, but essentially it is a rule set by the government that says all internet service providers like AT&T and Comcast must treat all internet speeds equally regardless of the website. But now, following this vote, that rule is set to no longer be in effect, meaning that websites like Netflix could potentially be granted a given fee that must be paid on top of your Netflix membership for your internet speed. But it goes much further than Netflix. It would separate the internet into slow and fast lanes. And what this does is it gives internet service providers, which are these mammoth corporate entities that in many parts of the country hold monopolies or duopolies over their industry, it gives them enormous power to dictate what websites are and are not given preferential treatment. And that is a really, really dangerous power to give to corporate entities whose primary goal is a profit motive. What this could mean is that competitors to various websites could be wiped out or given an advantage based on what an internet service provider wants. You could see political figures that advocate for things that, say, Comcast may not support, having their website speed throttled by Comcast. And so it all essentially undermines this idea of the internet, that everyone is given a level playing field. That idea of fairness is what has driven the internet to untold levels of innovation, especially in the last 7 years or so. So now that net neutrality is gone, what now? Well, at least 17 attorneys general from various states, not including Texas, unfortunately, are suing the FCC, saying that this removal of net neutrality undermines a free and open internet, and what you could see is courts delaying the implementation of this. Now, Congress has the power to pass a joint resolution that could overturn the FCC within the next 60 days. Unfortunately, knowing Congress and their political leanings, and also who fund their campaigns, this isn't too likely, but it's still possible. And if you want this to happen, try texting RESIST to 50409, and you can contact your congressional representatives with a fax letter. I promise you it does work if enough people do it. And that's really the short term of what we can do. But as for the long term, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When not enough young people vote, people like Donald Trump win. And then Donald Trump will appoint an anti-net neutrality FCC chair, and then net neutrality is repealed, and then young people are screwed over the worst. That is a cycle. Young people are constantly screwed over by elected representatives who simply don't care about their interests. But it is a cycle that we can break. If you care about a free and open internet like I do, I hope you'll join me in helping to make 2018 the highest voter turnout among young people ever. That is a goal that we can accomplish, and we need to do it if we want to fight back against these kind of actions. We are fed up, and we are paying attention, because when you come for our internet, we're not going to put up with it. That's all I've got for this week. My name is Parker Butler, and thank you for listening.